Sean, you're very welcome. And
thank you very much.
Before we talk about the parade, the virtual parade, I've reminded our listeners a couple of times that we, you know, it's great to have the New York St. Patrick's Day parade. It is the biggest, the largest, the oldest in the world, bar none. And this year, it's going to go virtual. But before we get on to that, yourself, you were born in New York City, and then, indeed, this is not a unique story or background, but you're born here, and then your parents moved back to Ireland, from whence they came.
Exactly, yeah. Back in the, I think I was 10 years old. And then I did all my schooling and everything over in Galway and then came back here again when I finished my postgrad.
Tell me, what was, as a 10-year-old, going to Ireland? That would be not just, you know, an experience, but it would be a life-changing experience to leave, you know, America, New York, and head back to Ireland. Were there, was that a shaky kind of period in your life, saying one part of me is fine with this, but wow, don't know.
Well, it was spectacularly beautiful. I mean, very unusual. As you know, there was one TV channel back in 77 or whatever that came out at 6 o'clock in the evening. So it was a very different, but certainly to be surrounded, to be out in the country and surrounded, and it was so beautiful. I think I told you my first introduction to farming the first day I was there, which nearly got myself killed. it was an interesting, but it was, you're right, very, very different, but obviously very much. I have great love for the west of Ireland. I love it.
Yeah, I had mentioned earlier that, you know, you could well have wound up, you know, going back to Mayo, and
yeah,
in which case you wouldn't have had to, you know, come back here at all. But the word went out. First of all, there are stories I won't repeat, but, you know, there were those who said that when you left Ireland to come here, you know, the loss would be very temporary to Ireland, that they'd get over it in no time flat.
Well, but, geez, well, let me just say one thing, Adrian. When you take the high road in a conversation in County Mayo, you don't run into a lot of traffic.
Well, all right. Okay. That's one happier family now, turn off. And you can dig yourself out of that one, but not on my program. Tell me, though, were you among a great number of people who left Ireland to come to New York, for that matter, to a lot of the Irish hotbeds across the country? And how, when you got here, how did you wind up as a bartender? And did you have a natural knack for that?
Yeah, I mean, we owned a pub back in Galway, of course, and then I worked in both the Great Southern and the Skef in Galway for a number of years. But very fortunate, a great Mayo man used to stay in the Skef every year for Galway races, Austin Delaney, who you knew very well.
Oh,
rest
yes.
His soul.
Yes.
But Austin very, very kindly, every year he'd come over, he'd offer me a job. He said, if you're ever coming to New York. And then it ended up, my brother worked for Austin for over 20 years. And when I first initially came over, I worked for Austin, and Austin even introduced me to the guy who got me my job at Salomon, my first job on Wall Street. Well, Austin was always, well, you know, the tradition with the Irish, and Austin was very big on that. If he could get somebody a job or give them a start, I mean, he'd give you instant feedback if you weren't doing your job, but no better man to get you a job. And if he didn't have any jobs going, he'd help you. He'd send you somewhere else.
Wasn't there, or first of all, he owned, of course, Harbor Lights,
yes.
a fantastic and a very popular, huge restaurant down on,
yes,
on the harbor on Pier 17 in New York.
That's where I met your uncle. I met your uncle down there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's...
Yes.
You know, and you wouldn't meet him. You're talking about my uncle, Paul O'Dwyer. I don't know,
yeah.
But any time that I hooked up with them down there, we wound up at a stool in a diner. I don't know, but it was nice to notice him.
I got a nice tip from him, too, which Austin was very surprised.
Oh, that's, oh, boy, how about that?
Very generous.
I wanted to ask you, Sean Lane, about, you know, you are... And have been, you know, a vice president of financial services and investment for Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
There, in the industry, it would appear if we go back through the years, that there were a great number of Irish names, descendants of the Irish, who wound up, you know, on Wall Street, wound up, you know, on the floor, as they say. And was that a trend? I'm not talking about your time,
mm-hmm.
but before,
yes.
beforehand, how did we wind up with, you know, so many Irish, you know, in finance and, you know?
Well, it's a very entrepreneurial profession, and I think, you know, just in general, as you say, the Irish were very drawn to it, and you know, many reached, of course, great heights, and, mm-hmm. and even today there are many at great heights in the Wall Street firms. But you're right, it's something that did attract a lot of Irish and Irish Americans to the profession.
We, excuse me, on your, why is Sean Lane on again? I wasn't going to call him until I see whether we get the $1,400 in the stimulus package. Anyway, that'll have to be another call. Let me ask you about, you started in 2018 as chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City. Can you bring us back to about this time last year? You had a grand marshal lined up.
We did.
A great number of people were excited, and if anybody had said at the end of February last week, by the way, there is a distinct possibility that, you know, after, what, 259 years, that there won't be a parade on Fifth Avenue, nobody would have believed it. But we're right up to the day itself. And rumors back and forth, and, you know, maybe, you know, the Governor Cuomo and the mayor, and you never know, they might let us have the parade and then do whatever you want to do after that. Fortunately, that was a good call because the pandemic really hit hard, and we could well have gone down, you know, in the history of New York City as having and contributing to the spread of the pandemic. But the arrangements, the coming up to, we will, we won't, we can, we, you know, maybe we can't. For in terms of the parade, you didn't have much time.
No,
nor your committee.
You're right. I mean, we were ready to go. We had 173 bands and 225 marching groups lined up. And then the governor called me on the 11th, very gracious about it. But he, you know, he went through it. He said, "Look, we've over 10,000 first responders in the parade, and as you said, it could have ended up being a super spreader like the Spanish flu epidemic. I think it was in Philadelphia. They had a parade." And thousands died. And, you know, look, I mean, we've over 500,000 now that we lost, sadly, to the coronavirus. So thank God, you know, I'm very thankful for that, that, you know, the governor had said he was going to postpone the parade originally because we thought maybe in a month or two.
Right.
And then, of course, everything was shut down, and there was executive orders both from Washington and also from Albany shutting everything down.
Well, we definitely you know, were and are prepared, you know, for this year. It is no surprise that there will be a different twist and a presentation. We've had a whole year now to get used of, either ourselves or getting somebody to get used of virtual events.
You're right. And we're doing five different things this year, as I know you're aware of some of them, but, you know, we're doing an NBC TV special, which is going to feature some Irish dancing and Irish music, as well as interviews. And then they're also going to show some great photos from the parades over the last number of decades. We're doing a virtual parade, as you referenced, which will probably start at 11 o'clock. We're still finalizing the timing because, as you said, there's still a lot of stuff going on in the background.
Yeah.
But more than likely, the normal kickoff time, as we say, for the parade is 11 o'clock. So we'd like to have the virtual parade that we're going to show both on Facebook and on YouTube start hopefully at 11 o'clock. And that's going to be professionally produced. The TV producer that normally does the parade, Mike Mathis, has very kindly donated his time. And, of course, Tommy, the legendary broadcaster, yeah. Tommy Smith and Tressa are going to do some commentary. Tommy always reminds me of Michal O'Hare. He knows everybody's family, where they're from, what they do for their profession. They're great to have that continuity. And then we're also going to do two TV specials, the Catholic Faith Network. We're going to televise the Mass. And then we're also doing a TV special on essential workers and first responders. For the first time in the history of the parade, in 260 years, we're actually having an honor guard. And the honor guard is first responders and essential workers. And it features, the MTA, the fire department, NYPD, doctors, nurses. We've got a funeral director from County Cork, the 69th Regiment, sanitation, and I think a relative through marriage of your own, Kate O'Neill, a nurse.
Absolutely.
She's seen a lot of things through COVID, and she's one of the people. So that will be a very, very interesting program for people to watch, to hear about all these Irish and Irish-American people who've been our first responders and essential workers and done so much for people like myself that's able to work from home thanks to these people. And, of course, as you know, it's the 20th anniversary, the somber anniversary of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same people we called upon back then, too. And lost so many, of course, on 9/11. We're very grateful for all of these people.
Yeah, of course, you couldn't leave it alone. So you mentioned, of course, that a family connection is one of the honorees for
yes.
the and
well, we decided
O'Neill.
We decided to overlook that. It's a handicap that she's had to live with, but we decided to overlook it.
Now, excuse me. I want to, in case somebody says, the O'Neills, how are you related? My son-in-law, father of two of my grandchildren, Gavin and Fallon Enright.
Oh, Fallon's lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice young lady.
And so it's Frank's cousin. And she is indeed a tremendous nurse and a great person. And dare we mention that she belongs to and works for Northwell Health. And
mm-hmm.
while we're at it, because we know that Northwell Health and indeed the great Mike Dowling, former Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, or that Northwell Health, in addition to being a tremendous health care facility, is also great sponsors of the parade. So, and also Patricia Farrell, who is a Northwell Health nursing executive. So there are so many people. See, I could sink you now in 2 seconds and say, rattle off all the names in the order in which they are listed on your, on your catalog, the Parade Journal.
Yes,
but I would not, that would be That wouldn't be nice. Not that you wouldn't, believe me, not that you wouldn't do it to me, but anyway, you know, that's the way I am.
Oh, no, well, you're like myself, you grew up in a small town, Adrian, so you miss nothing. But I do want to recognize as well, by the way, the operating engineers, because Jim Callahan, of course, the board decided to make him the Grand Marshal of the next full parade, so he's still our Grand Marshal, but they themselves, the operating engineers, have, of course, our essential workers. They're the ones that were setting up the respirators for patients in the hospitals, and obviously they helped to make sure the power, the heat, the water, the gas, everything is working in so many different government buildings and hospitals, and they play a really important role. And they're, you know, one of them will be part of the honor guard of the parade as well.
That's really fantastic. And there are friends in going through the list here. There is such a variety. I think you have incorporated into the honor guard this year perhaps some of the most undersung heroes, you know, during the last year in this crisis. It's incredible. By the way, that's a nice stroke to get to be on the Catholic Faith Network. That's pretty good too.
They're lovely people, Adrian. You probably know them. I mean, sure, you know, yes, Everybody in media, but they're very, very gracious and kind, and they're very professional. They really do top notch work. It's a great pleasure to work with.
And yeah,
Monsignor Vlon is really a pleasure to work with.
Yeah, they're very fond of me. Actually, I sent them a Christmas card. They returned it. So, so. Don't mention my name at the left of the broadcast. Anyway, that's the way. Seriously, the parade is, in fact, we're doing the best, and you and your committee are doing the very best you can under the circumstances. So the tradition, there will be a mass, and that will be, again, as I say, that will be available virtual, through the social media, and I'm sure, and again, NBC, in addition to doing the special, fair play to them, that's worth an awful pile of money, particularly on St. Patrick's Day, but they've come around, they're giving it to you on the cuff.
Yeah, no, they're doing it themselves. Well, they've been very gracious. And as you know, of course, there's a great Irish-American at the helm there, Frank Comerford.
Oh,
And you know Frank, of course, but he's been very good to us over the years and very, very gracious guy.
Yeah.
We're very delighted.
He is and he has been. And for those who know him, in addition to his being extraordinarily generous and pro-Irish, pro-Catholic, the St. Patrick's Day parade. He's such a lovely guy that you wouldn't want to cross him, you know. So I'm not surprised, you know, not surprised that he's come up with that one. Could you tell me, since you have more than a passing interest in the Fighting 69th, I know, and this gives you an opportunity, which I wasn't going to give you. But anyway, tell us about your own involvement with the Fighting 69th. And perhaps you give us a capsule of, the significance of the Fighting 69th. Who are they? A bit of the background, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes. Well, thank you, Adrian. And I know, of course, you know them well, given their significance. So, as you know, in 1851, that was the first year that the Fighting 69th actually led the parade. So this would be 170 years. And back then, we needed an armed escort. You know, they were a widely respected army unit. And in fairness, to the 69th are a big part of the reason. As you remember, back in the 1850s and into the late 1850s, there was anti-Catholic and anti-Irish riots in New York. You know, the Dead Rabbits and the that movie, as you know, the Gangs of New York. There was a Bill the Butcher, and, you know, there was a lot that went on back then, a lot of anti-Irish violence. So they actually started to lead the parade out of necessity. We had an armed escort. And then, you know, when you go back further through the years, when you look at the Fighting 69th, have been awarded more Medals of Honor, I believe, than any other units. They have 7 Medal of Honor recipients, and my understanding is the 101st Airborne has 3. So you know what they went through. But they were a big part of us being accepted by America. Because the Irish, as you know, Adrian, two-thirds of all Medal of Honor recipients are of Irish descent. The only ethnic group that has served as much or more are the Native Americans. The Native Americans and the Irish have a much higher, greater representation amongst medals and service in the military. But the Fighting 69th had daily reports in the New York papers of their exploits and the U.S. papers. And that really came to be why we became widely accepted by New York society and by American society, the exploits of these wonderful soldiers. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I'm an honorary member of the 69th. Yeah. But we do some fundraising with the Regimental Trust, which is designed to, you know, help. There's a club down there that's for the soldiers and it's for them. And then also, you know, look to provide some aid to those who've lost their spouses, through service in the 69th. And they continue to serve, as you know. I guess they're getting ready. I think next year they're going to rotate abroad again. Some of them are extraordinarily experienced soldiers, special forces guys, regular army. Of course, now they're the National Guard, but they regularly deploy. Every few years, they'll go off to Afghanistan or somewhere else abroad, serving on our behalf. Yeah. They're wonderful people, wonderful people.
And they're headquartered. Were they founded in New York or?
They were. Michael Corcoran.
That's right.
Another proud Irishman founded them in New York, and then Thomas Francis Marr, who was part of the Young Irelanders Rebellion, as you know, he came over, and he ended up leading the regiment in the American Civil War, and became very good friends with President Lincoln, as you know. That great book,
yep.
The Immortal Irishman. You know the whole story, but it's just amazing the history of what these people have done. Again, part of not just the Army, but all these other service jobs of service that the Irish have taken over the years, the fire department, the police department, teachers, nurses, doctors. That's part of the reason why we became accepted by American society, is that so many Irish served in all of these wonderful professions, as they do. And that's our honor guard today, ironically enough. I mean, that's the same people we're greatly beholden to during COVID, are the same people that really helped us be accepted by American society.
And from... You know, it wasn't from the wind they took it. You know, it's in the last year when we got to witness and see and read and hear about first responders, an incredible number of Irish descendants of the Irish Americans are in just about every field you're talking about, you know.
You're absolutely right, and in big numbers. I don't know what it is with the Irish psyche, but they were always, as you know, growing up, and even for me, growing up in a small village in the west of Ireland, those jobs were held in very high regard. Teachers, doctors, nurses, priests, anything with service, the guards, you know, there's a lot of respect in Ireland for those professions, as there is to this day.
Now, for those who... again, would realize that, you know, as with most events connected with, you know, the St. Patrick's Month, the St. Patrick's season, that the normal flow of support, as in, you know, of financial support, is pretty drained across the board. The parade costs actually... costs a lot of money, so what's the primary source of revenue to you know, to keep up with the expenses, even though you're not going to be on Fifth Avenue?
Yeah, you make a good point, because you know, just between the accounting, the auditing, the insurance, with the various types of insurance that we have to hold, we have an office, we have an employee. You know, you can get to 150, 200,000 without even having a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's vital, obviously, after, you know, all these years, 260th year, that we keep everything going. So, yeah, what we do is we depend largely on donations. I mean, what we've done in the last number of years is, you know, a lot of organizations will donate during the parade season, and that's all gone right now. And then we also hold a fundraising gala, and like other charities, we're not having a gala. So we're hoping people will donate, you know, with a virtual parade that we're going to have on the day, and we're running various fundraisers online. So if anybody would like to support us, they could go to the New York NYC St. Patrick's Day Parade. You go to the website and or the NYC St. Patrick's Day Foundation, St. Patrick, either website. It's the same organization. We would be thrilled if people would be able to donate and support us.
And again, probably an easy one to remember is NYC St. Patrick's Parade.org. That's not correct,
yes.
too? All right.
Yes, yes.
There's a journal, and again, with a very wide variety of levels of support. The rush on that one is that it ends next Sunday. So if you think that you would like to, get a message of congratulations in there to the first responders, again, that's the same website. You can go on there. But again, this is the last week to do this, you know? Right.
And we also have a wall for pictures, where if people want, for a small donation, $25, they can upload a picture. And a lot of people are doing it as tributes to the first responders and essential workers. You know, you could just hold up a banner or whatever, and, you know, thank the first responders and essential workers, or even just to say St. Patrick's Day greetings, because normally they'd either be in the parade or on the sidelines watching it, millions of people. So this is kind of a way to virtually participate this year. And then we're still working with the mayor's office and city hall to figure out, hopefully, and the Macy's Day parades guys, I remember telling me, I think it was 5 or 6 days before their parade when they finally figured out what they were doing to commemorate the day. So we're looking to do something very small, hopefully, just to maintain the tradition. We can't have a big parade. It's got to be very, very small, and we're not sure again yet. It hasn't been ironed out yet with city hall, but we do want to make sure that we mark, all these years, 260 years in a row. But again, it's going to have to be very discreet and small, or it would be shut down, and we still don't have the final approval. But we're expecting to get it.
Okay. The my last point here is maybe you could just educate me, number one, and a lot of our listeners. You know, when we think of a journal, and particularly a journal of such tremendous and widespread circulation of the St. Patrick's Day Parade journal, we think of course, a lot of, you know, fairly heavy level of, of outlay for ads, which would be no trouble to many. But that $25 on the wall, tell me about that one. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so if you go...
Anya had a check ready for, $50 here. Tear it up. We can get a better deal here.
Well, let's just say that the picture would have a much better chance of making it on the wall if it was a picture of Anya. No offense, Adrian.
And let her pay for her own then. Okay, how does the picture work? Come on now.
Well, if you go to the parade website, nycstpatricksparade.org, as you kindly mentioned before, you'll find it there. And that, you know, two choices. You can do the virtual journal, or if you just want to do a shout-out or a greeting. And as we've seen, some people will just hold up cards saying thank you, first responders. And, you know, it's a way to participate. But you go to the parade website, and you'll find it there.
The price is right.
Yeah, no,
the virtual parade journal is on there.
No, you're right. And if you go to the events tab on the parade website, that's where you'll find, the stuff about the virtual journal or whatever. It's all on there. Of course, they could reach out to the parade. There's an email box there if you have any questions.
Yeah. Again, I learned something, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners as well. And we sincerely want to, you know, thank you, and a parade committee that normally works hard from, you know, for 364 days a year And suffice it to say, you didn't get any break this year, you know. It was
very kind of you again, Adrian, obviously, to have me on the show. I mean, I do greatly, greatly appreciate it. And as you say, we want to preserve our traditions because it's very, very important.
Yeah, well, I wanted to stay in with you anyway, because when that stimulus check comes, you know, and you can take, I tell you what, I'll give you the check, and you can take Anya's $25 picture out of it before you get started, because I'm not doing it. Okay. Great. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
To all, again, and particularly to the first responders, there couldn't be, no matter what, under, and again, Jim Callahan, the star, and a tremendous supporter and a great guy, but the list of first responders are second to none, and you give us an opportunity to pay tribute to them on the most important day of the year.